Last week, we talked about trading traditions. Remember that? We kind of wrapped up the series of the power of same, how the good kind of same is good, and if we got a bad kind of same, we need to change that bad kind of same, make it a good kind of same to have a good outcome, right? Talked about that for about 5 weeks. This morning, I have to just say this because I've just bared witness to something that I believe. We talked about trading traditions last Sunday, not the tradition, not what you would think of, but there is a tradition, I believe, in church across America, in most churches, that when you go to church, it's a spectator event. That you come to church and you find your seat, your place, and you get to sit there and you watch church happen. And that is that's unbiblical. That's not scriptural. And what I was able to witness and take part of something this morning that I believe, I just feel impressed to tell you this morning that this is what church is about. What happened here in this place. And so we're going to talk about trading traditions. This is no longer a spectator sport. We are all participants from this point going forward, okay? And so I am going to have an expectation that we are going to do what church is for each and every time we get together, okay? This is not, you don't have to just sit there and suffer through the singing, suffer through the preaching, suffer through and hold on to your wallet during the offering time and then get out of here so you can get to lunch and get to the first line at the El Burrito or wherever you go. What I'm saying is, this is a place, this is a one time a week on Sunday morning that we get together and to do this thing. Oh, let's do it. Amen. Let's do it right. Let's do it well. Amen? This is a place, not just a house of prayer, which is what Jesus specifically told us church was for. I haven't even started my notes yet, so y'all just hang on. This is also a place of ministry. Amen. Back in the old days, even before Jesus was made manifest on the earth, the church, the temple, was a place to get ministered to. It is still that place. It is still that place. Okay? Oh. Now, I would say let me get settled down, but I really don't want to get settled down. I will tell you, though, that I'm a little bit weird about some things. Okay? My wife is a little more weird than I am about certain things. Now, I'm not necessarily a neat freak, okay? I'm not a neat freak. And I wouldn't say that Rebecca's a necessarily neat freak by any stretch of the imagination, but have you ever walked into a dark and dingy place? And sometimes you walk into a place and it's just kind of a mess and it's dirty. I don't know about you, but when I walk into a place like that, I start to kind of feel dirty. I kind of feel like, wow, when I leave here, I'm going to go take a shower because it just doesn't feel right. Sometimes I begin to feel like I'm dirty and like I'm a mess. I have to go wash and curl and blow dry my hair all over again. And sometimes when I'm in a place like that, I begin to think about all those things that are wrong with me. Sometimes I begin to think about the chaos that's in my life and I begin to feel bad about myself sometimes and sometimes I even feel like a failure. Not just because of the place I'm in, because it triggers emotions and memories in my mind. And I begin to think, well, you know what? I'm really no better than this place or this situation that I find myself in because I'm dirty in some places and some areas too. And yeah, I'm just really not that good. Matter of fact, how can anybody even stand to be around me? Rebecca is happy when the house is clean. When the house is not clean, she's pretty miserable. And she feels kind of undone. She feels like she's just overwhelmed when it's not clean. And it doesn't have to always be spick and span. But where we live, we have very, very little concrete. And this week, and actually for the last couple of weeks, with all the rain, there's been a lot of mud, okay? So pretty much to get from anywhere where you park the car into the house, you're going to track in some mud. Now, thank goodness we have tile floors and it's not carpet, but still, it's to stay on top of it, you've got to just strap a broom to your leg and a dustpan in your pocket and walk, just scoop up behind you as you go, because it's always seems to be there. Can anyone relate to that? Can anyone relate to this? Sometimes things get messy and we don't like that, but there's just, we find ourselves in that situation. Sometimes I begin to think stuff like, what kind of pastor keeps his house like this? If somebody were to come over unannounced and knock on my door, I'd be so embarrassed. And they would think I'm a horrible, horrible pastor. And if I ever need to go pick somebody up real quick, I'm going to have to stop at the car wash and get the vacuum out, because I've got stuff all over my floorboards. I need to straighten up. I'll be there in 5 minutes instead of two, because I've got to get myself cleaned up and ready to receive you. And sometimes we need to stop and ask ourselves, what does the dirt on the floor really, really mean? Now, you can take that literally. You can take that figuratively. Please take it both ways. What does the dirt on the floor really, really mean? Does it mean that I'm really a slob? Does it mean that I'm a failure and I don't know how to properly wipe my feet off before I come in the house? Or could it possibly mean that I am so blessed to have so many people in my home that the constant traffic through my door brings the outside in? I am blessed. I have 6 people in my home, counting me. I love every one of them. And I'm blessed to have every one of them in my home. The truth is that if it was just Rebecca and me, the house would probably stay a lot cleaner. Not entirely clean, because it's still me. Okay? But it would probably stay a lot cleaner, but I would miss out. Oh, I'll be missing out on some of the greatest joys in my life. And that's my 3 children that live with us. And my father, who spends time with us, lives with us. I love that. I love that. I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't trade it. Sometimes I think we need to just learn to love the mud. That's the title of this message today. Learn to love the mud. We need to stop getting so upset about the little handprints on the door, the glass door. Yeah? And be glad there's somebody there to put handprints on the door. We need to learn to love the mess. Before we moved here, we would go to a little place up the road called Alto. And it's a wonderful place if you have some ATVs or four-wheelers. Oh, one of the most fantastic riding places. Zachary and I would go, and occasionally we would take the girls with us. But there is nothing but mud, mud, mud up there. And where Alto is, outside of kind of Rusk and all that, it is red mud. Red mud stains clothes. Did you know that? It does. And we would go up there and we would ride around in that red clay, nasty mud, and have stained clothes. Oh, it was just, we'd come home and we'd have to wash and take the pressure washer and wash the machines off and throw away the socks. And matter of fact, we even had a tub of Alto clothes. We would wash them and do the best we could, then we'd just put them away and we'd use those again next time to keep from messing up other clothes. But, you know, it was messy and nasty, but Zachary, do we have some good memories of Alto? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have some really, really good times. And so sometimes we need to learn to love the mud. I began to think about that and look at places where mud or dirt is mentioned in Scripture. And you know what? There's a lot of dirty passages. I mean that in a good way. The mud, the dirt, the dust. Genesis 2, verse 7 is one of the most, it's a really, really good one. It says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." We're made from mud. You're made from the dust of the ground, mud. Here's some things about mud. I think 3 things that I'm going to talk about this morning. The meaning of mud. What is the meaning of the mud? I ran across this acronym as I was doing my study. NMNM. N is in November, M is in Mike, N is in November. M is in Mike. NMNM. No mess, no ministry. See, ministry's messy.
That's right.
Ministry's messy.
Yes.
You see, everyone, when I think about something that's really strong, I think about an ox. And in the Bible, they had lots of oxen. A lot of them found their way to the altar. And they weren't there praying. They were there being offered up. You see, everyone wants the strength that the oxen can bring. Yeah? Everybody wants the strength, but nobody wants to shovel the stuff that accompanies the oxen, right? But we want the strength, we just don't want the mess.
Right.
Well, the truth is, we're like that in all respects. We want the strength, we want the good things, just not the mess that comes along. But life has messes. And some of the best things can make the biggest messes. Yes? Somewhere there's a dad or mom who can't drive all the way up to their driveway right now because the driveway is littered with toys and bicycles and tricycles and big... Do they still make big wheels? Okay, and big wheels and skateboards and all kinds of stuff. They can't even drive all the way up to their garage or parking lot, parking spot. I'm not saying that we shouldn't teach our kids to put things in appropriate places when they're through with them and kind of clean up, but we need to remember that there are also men and women out there who would just love to have the children to clean up after.
Yes.
You see, we get distracted by the mess and we lose the meaning of the mess.
Right.
We need to learn to love the mud. Some of the most meaningful and impactful worship times I've ever had did not happen in a church. Did not happen in a sanctuary. Did not happen here in this place. Some of the most meaningful and impactful worship times I've had happened in hospital rooms or in the bedroom of somebody's house where somebody was sick and or dying. We need to understand that the mess makes the meaning. You get rid of the mess, you get rid of the meaning. In our house, my wife is a fabulous cook. And if you're a man and you think your woman is not a, your wife is not a fabulous cook, you need to come to that understanding. Your wife is a fabulous cook. And the more you affirm that, the better she'll be. But some of the best meals Rebecca ever sets on our table is usually the result of a kitchen that is just an absolute disaster. But I came to understand this correlation, you see. The bigger the mess, the better the meal usually is. And so I like to see messy kitchens because it normally means I am about to dine like a king. The mess indicates movement. We need to see through the mess in our lives and find the meaning of the mess. There's a purpose and a reason for the mess. You see, messes happen. Life is messy, right? Can anybody relate to life being messy? 6, 7, 8. Okay, now the rest of you are being honest. Okay. Life gets messy. But guess what? The messes aren't there just to mess you up. The messes are there to provide an opportunity for God to show off. And guess what? My God loves to show off.
Yes, He does.
The meaning of the mud. We need to understand the meaning of the mud. In Psalm 103, there are two verses here I want to read to you, 13 and 14. Out of a familiar passage. It says here in verse 13, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. And He remembers that we are dust." Aren't you glad that God doesn't say, "I expect you to be something different"? Scripture tells me that God remembers me. He remembers where I came from. You know, sometimes somebody does really well and they go off and they move away and they change their lifestyle and all this stuff, and they absolutely try to forget everything about them, and they say, "Well, that person just forgot where they came from." Guess what? God doesn't forget where you came from. He remembers because He formed you out of the dust, and He breathed life into your nostrils. He remembers that we are but dust, messy, and God hasn't forgotten where we came from. The second thing I want to talk to you about is there is mercy in the mud. There's mercy in the mud. In John chapter 8, kind of a lengthy passage here, but verses 1 through 11 in chapter 8, I did this and I made that real small and I apologize, but if you have your Bibles, turn to it. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. It says here, "Then each went to his own home, but Jesus came to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commands us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?' They were using this as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus went down and he started to write on the ground with his finger." What was he writing on? On the dirt. Okay, that good. That fits along with our message here. "He began to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, 'If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her.' Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and he asked her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' 'No one, sir,' she said. 'Then neither do I condemn you,' Jesus declared. 'Now go and leave your life of sin.'" You see, the only one who was without sin, Jesus Christ, even he did not condemn her. The only one who knew all of her dirt, the only one that knew how filthy her life really was, knew how messy her life really was, he knew her dirt, but he didn't drag her through the dirt. He lifted her up, and he called her to a better life. You see, the enemy loves to throw rocks. The enemy loves to be like these guys and pick up rocks and condemn and make accusations. The enemy loves to throw rocks at you. And he'll remind you. And then he'll remind you some more of what you did or what you did not do that you should have done or what you did or didn't say. But Jesus is the only one who has the right to throw a rock. But he says this. He says, "I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved." Amen? When the old devil comes to threaten you with a rock, and you feel that, and you're down there, and you feel like you're all dirty, and you're down in the ground, and the devil's making accusations at you, telling you how dirty you are, you just remind the old devil that Jesus got down in the dirt, and he wiped your slate clean. "There is now therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus." You see, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're one of His, there is no condemnation. There can be no accusations brought against you. The devil may bring an accusation, and the answer, your attorney, your advocate, thank you, stands up and says, "Yes, he was guilty of that, but it's already been paid for. There is now therefore no condemnation." None. Yeah, guilty, but it's already been paid. I paid it. And I paid it in full. And there's change in the bank. There is mercy in the mud. The third thing I want to tell you about this morning, one chapter over in John chapter 9, the first 12 verses here. Jesus is kind of in the middle, towards the middle, second middle of his ministry. And here he runs into a man. It says in chapter 9, verse 1, "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I want to stop just for a moment. You see, this man is being, Jesus is being asked, who made this mess? Was it him that made the mess, or was it his parents' fault that he was born blind? Who made the mess? And this man, he can't see. He can't see who's talking, but he can certainly hear what's being said, right? And they're talking about his mess. Everybody knows his mess. His mess is that he can't see. And they're saying, well, is it his fault or his parents' fault? Somebody's fault. Somebody did something. Whose mess is it? And he's heard this all of his life. And he hears this now. And he can't see, but he can hear. But he has also heard that there's a man. That there's a man named Jesus who heals blind eyes. Verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. His mess existed so that God could show off. Amen. Yeah. And here we are. And so I lost my place. But as long as it might be displayed in his life, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, I love this part. I love this part. Jesus, he hears him coming. He cries out. Jesus comes to him. And he gets said, who made this mess? And Jesus said, nobody made the mess, but it exists so I could show off, basically, kind of a paraphrase. So the guy gets excited. He knows that this is the Jesus who's been healing, right? And he says, oh, I'm about to get the touch. He's going to give me he's going to breathe on me. He's going to touch me. He's going to do something. And he's listening. He can't remember. He can't see anything. And he hears this. He says, now, wait a minute. What would that? I know that this guy, he's healed people by touching them. He's healed people by speaking over them. Even those who weren't even near him, he spoke and they were healed far away. He's touched, he's breathed on people. He's done. And he, it's here, folks. Look, it says right here. Having said this, he spit on the ground. And he made some mud with the saliva. Then he put it on the man's eyes. So the man, remember, he can't see. And he's here. He's probably down on his knees or laying down or something. And he's expecting something to hear this. He's like, that was strange. Maybe he's clearing his throat because he's about to just. And he feels something wet on his eyes. And he's going like, okay. All right. Well, let's see where this goes. Got some Jesus spit on me. He put it on the man's eyes. Verse 7. Go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. His neighbors and all those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself said, I am the man. See, he could stand there and he could say, I'm the man. I am the man. I'm that one. All you guys talking about my mess, remember I couldn't see you? Now I see you. I know who you are. I recognize your voice because I could hear you. You're talking about my mess. Guess what? I don't have a mess. I can see. I can see. How is it then when your eyes were opened? They demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud. He didn't say, well, the dude spit on me, you know. He just said, he made some mud and he put it on my eyes. And he told me to go to the Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. I get that answer a lot. I don't know. And it doesn't sound like I don't know. It sounds like this. Oh. Why is your room a mess? Oh. What happened to this? Oh. What time are you coming home? Oh. Where have you been? Oh. What is my name? I don't know. I don't know. He made some mud. Give me just a second here. I've got an object lesson. I have some props here I've got to get out. All throughout the scriptures, in these scriptures that I found and studied, dirt, dust, mud, it all represents humanity. I've got a jaw of dirt. Dirt, dust of the ground, represents humanity, represents where we were made from. We were made from the dust. You remember that? This is dirt. That's a good, rich dirt, too. That's the good stuff right there. Dirt. But also, throughout Scripture, there's another element that has meaning. Dirt represents humanity. Dirt represents us. Dirt represents you and me. The water almost always represents the Spirit. The oil represents the Spirit, the presence of God, the Spirit in our lives. And maybe where you are in your situation feels pretty dirty. And maybe your marriage is kind of dirty. Maybe your marriage is messy. Maybe your heart just feels like dirt sometimes. But I want to tell you something. If you feel like a situation in your life is just dirty and dirt covered, what does the water represent? Just add water. Just add water. And guess what you get? Mud. Allow the Holy Spirit to come into your dirty, nasty situation. There's miracles in the mud, folks. There is a miracle in the mud. Maybe your heart feels dirty. Just add water. You see, what you are without Christ is very common. Common dirt. But what you are with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, is very uncommon. It's very supernatural. Just add water. Just add water. Miracles are always messy. I remember making mud pies when I was growing up. We didn't have a lot of rain. When it rained, we played in it. Miracles are always messy. He takes your dirt, your humanity, remember that's where we came from, your weakness, and He pours into your life His grace, His mercy, His miracle working power into your life. And He says, I want to stir up your humanity with my Spirit, and I want to make a miracle in your life. And He stirs it up. And He stirs it up. He says, bring me your dirt. Bring me your shame. Bring me your shortcomings. Bring me your regrets. Bring me your doubts. Bring me your pain. Bring me your struggles. Bring me your struggling relationships. Bring me your financial difficulties. Bring me your bad habits. Bring this to me. I want to add my Spirit. And I'll show you who I am. And I'll show you the power of the one who can change things. There's a miracle in the mud. Miracle in the mud. What the world calls failure, you see, God calls fertilizer. It's good dirt. It's better now. Take the situation in your life. That situation that seems hopeless. That situation that seems dark. That situation that seems dirty. Beyond repair. And ask God to pour His Spirit out into your situation. There's a miracle in your mess. Oh, but remember the dirty floors? Oh, don't let the mess cause you to miss the miracle. Don't focus on the dirty floors. Let's focus on the meaning of the mud. Pour in God's Spirit. He's the one that does the pouring. We just have to open up. Allow it to wash through us. Let Him mix it up. And there'll be a miracle come from the situation. The greatest miracle of all is salvation, is it not? Our sins have made us dirty. And there's somebody here who's made an absolute mess. And I can tell you that from time to time, I make an absolute mess in my life. And I get in here. And sometimes I come and I'm just, yeah, I'm a mess. Sometimes I'm just an absolute mess. I've made a mess of my life. And as you feel dirty and messy, God says this. Take your mess and plunge it into my Spirit. Amen. Guess what happens when you do that? His Spirit is healing. His Spirit is cleansing. And He'll wash it all away. You can be made clean. I don't care what your mess is. I'm not saying I don't care about your mess. I'm saying it doesn't matter what it is because the Spirit of God can clean up any mess. I'm going to close our time today. This has been a wonderful day, and I know we've gone long, and I would apologize, but I'm really not sorry about it. So I'm sorry. Well, yeah, tough. I want to close in a little bit different way today. I want to invite each and every one of you to pray a prayer with me, okay? Some of you, many of you, maybe most of you have already prayed a prayer much like this in your life. Sometimes it's called something like the sinner's prayer or the prayer of repentance or something like that. But I'm going to ask each of you to pray this prayer out loud and just repeat after me. And there's nothing magic about the words. And if you've already prayed these words, it's not going to do something specifically magic or different in your life, but if you've never prayed these words and never meant them sincerely from your heart, oh, my friend, there's a miracle that's about to be made out of your mess. So I'm going to ask you all just to bow your heads where you are, close your eyes, and I'm going to ask everybody to verbally repeat after me. My Lord, I love you. I thank you that you saved me from death. I realize that I have done some things wrong. And I've made a mess of some things. But I also know that's why you died on the cross. To pay for my mess. Lord, thank you for paying for my mess. I receive that payment in full on my behalf. And I put my trust and my faith in you. I will follow you. I will learn more about you. And I will follow your way. I thank you for saving me. And I now call you Lord of my life. And I receive you as my Savior. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. That prayer is what's typically called something like the sinner's prayer. That's a prayer of repentance. That's a prayer that many, many people have been kind of led through. Not those same words. I just kind of made those words up as I went. They don't have to be the same. It's the intent of the heart. And if somebody comes and they come to that point and they say, I recognize that I've sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I am one of those. I have sinned. The wages of sin is death. There is no way to get to heaven now because there's a separation. I can't get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And I receive that, and I will follow that way, and He'll lead me to the Father. I receive that, and I'll make Him Lord of my life. That's the gospel message, folks. And if you just prayed that prayer for your first time, close your eyes again. Close your eyes. I don't want everybody looking around. If you just prayed that prayer for your first time, I want you to And you want to say this to the old devil. I'm no longer covered in shame. I'm no longer covered in dirt. I'm no longer dirty. I have been made clean. Jesus has made me clean. If that's you, you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you just slip your hand up real quick? Amen. 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 Jesus has made you clean. Come. Come to the water. Come and dip your mess into the Holy Spirit and allow Him to cleanse you. You see, without the Holy Spirit, you're just covered in mud. You're just a pile of mud. But with the Holy Spirit, you are a miracle in progress. I know that because the Bible tells me that. And the Bible is true. It never fails. I've made a simple demonstration up here, and it may be kind of corny, but it's very illustrative of the changing and cleansing power of the Holy Spirit. If you want that today, I want to show you how you can receive that today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time in your life, and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord, I want you to come and see me here in just one moment. Maybe you've prayed that prayer a long time ago, but you've gone out, you've gone away from the water, and you've just spent time in the mud. Oh, friend, the water is still pouring. And guess what? The water is still good. The water is still cleansing. The water is still effective. Would you come? Would you come to Him today? The altar is open. This is your time. Everybody stand. Everybody stand to your feet. This is your time. It's been a wonderful day. It's been a day like no other already. Somebody's life's about to be changed. Is it you? Are you going to respond to that? I pray that you do. Father, help us to respond to you. Help us to recognize that this is the first day of my new life. Father, help us to not feel the shame, not feel the regrets and all that any longer. Help us to come and to get cleansed and experience life fresh and new like we've never known it. Thank you, Lord, that you've given that to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You come as the Spirit leads. What an appropriate way to end this service. As we talked about the cleansing water, the Holy Spirit in our lives. Open up the sky. Fall down like rain. We don't want anything but you. The first part of that song. I won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. Listen, folks. I don't want ordinary church any longer. I want extraordinary church. You know why? Because we are extraordinary people. If you know what extraordinary means? It means extraordinary, outside the ordinary. You're ordinary, but then Jesus provides the extra. When the Holy Spirit comes, now you're extraordinary. You are superhuman. You are supernatural. Without Jesus, you're natural. With Him, you are supernatural. Folks, we need to begin to believe that. We need to understand that and take that in and internalize that. We are changed. We are different. We need to act like it. If you're satisfied with ordinary church, there's a bunch of them around. I don't want anybody off. Please, do not take me saying that. But I'm not satisfied with ordinary any longer. I love you. God loves you. And He wants so much more for you. All right? I'm going to do my part. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You, Father, that You've made it clear that, yes, we are a mess. We have messes in our lives. We have messes in relationships. And we have messes with the holes that we've dug and things that we have messed up ourselves. Sometimes we're the victim of other people's messes. Oh, but Father, You are always the cleansing power. You are the Spirit that changes and cleanses and comforts and encourages us. So Father, please fall down like rain upon us in this place. I pray, Father, we would walk out of here and we would feel wet because we have been in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, help us to commit that we will not be ordinary church. We are going to be extraordinary because you are the foundation of the church, Father, and with you there can be no ordinary. We don't want ordinary. We want what's real, what's true, what is scriptural, and what is biblical, and we want all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.